Okay, I want to talk to you today about let go. And we started a series called Traveling Light. We said in January that we wanted to go on an adventure. But what we need to do in order to go on an adventure, to count the stars again, is to make sure we travel light. We don't travel heavy, because God wants us free. And when we are free in Christ, we are free indeed. We're free in everything. It's complete, it's wholeness. So I was chatting to one of the LC students the other week, the Leadership College students, and they were talking to me about what's going on in their life. And they said, you know what, Ben? Jesus sets us free. Okay, that's what they said to me. Jesus sets us free. But how do we stay free? If you're in here and you're not of faith, I just want you to muse me a minute. I just want you to come with me a minute. But if you're in here and you're a believer and you've had that experience of God, you know that Jesus sets you free. Anybody remember that feeling? Anybody remember that moment? Come on, let's go back together. Remember that moment where you realized, wow, I'm forgiven. I'm set free. This has changed. Sort of like the first time that you ever saw, you know, your now wife, and Luther Vandross was playing in the background as she came floating down the corridor. Who is this woman? Even though she hated you and she thought you were a geek, somehow in the end, Jesus helps you out and she falls in love with you. And this romantic moment, because Jesus sets us free, but how do we stay free? How do we do that? And that's the question that I had in my mind. Here's the deal. If you're taking notes today, this is really important, okay? So I want you to remember this. Setting free is Christ's responsibility. Staying free is yours. Setting free is Christ's responsibility. He took responsibility. He did it. He came. He came. He died. He rose again. This is who he is. He takes responsibility and he offers freedom as a gift to you and I. It's sort of like he gives you this amazing car to drive, this phenomenal car that is just beyond anything you can imagine. But Christ gives you this, and then it becomes your responsibility to keep that car clean, running, full of life, full of energy, and to get passengers along your journey. But how do we do that? If staying free is our responsibility, very quickly, how do we do that? Because you and I love to do naughty things. Okay, I know you are, all right? CCTV all over this building. We love to do naughty things. Naughty, I think they say in Hawkley Hall, where I'm from. Naughty. Naughty things. We all like to get away with things that, or like do something naughty and no one find out, okay? Like, who took the last crisp from the packet? I did. It was me, by the way. You're asking that question. It was me. I stole all your crisps in your house. How do you walk in such a way that no matter whether you've been doing it a day, 10 years, 20 years, how do you keep that element of freeness? Because we love to do things that often make us unfree. We've been reading this Bible verse, and it was written by a guy called Paul. And this is what he says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since there are people watching who've been here before and who are surrounding us right now, believers who want to see us win, since we're surrounded by these people, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us. So we're surrounded by people who are watching. So we're going to make sure all this weight and this sin that we pick up along the way doesn't get on us, that keeps coming off, so that we can run with endurance, so that we can stay free. But we love habits. Now, I'm going to call you out on something right now. There are some people in here who go to the same restaurant on a very regular occasion and order the same thing every time. Okay, you know who you are. You're still welcome here, but I do not accept that. Okay. Now, I'm a little bit like that. We have an Indian around our area. It's fantastic, called Hamraz. I recommend it. Or if you get food poisoning, don't sue me. And it's really good. And so now I order the same thing over and over again. I literally say, hey, H, it's Ben. And he says, oh, hi, mate. Do you want your usual? Yeah, thanks. Okay, come in 25 minutes. That's it, okay? I know the price. I'm there, okay? Now, that's me. But some of you wear T-shirts still that you've had for 25 years, okay? I know it's you because you wash your car in it, okay? And it's got holes in it. Some of you at work will only drink from one mug. The same mug, okay? Why do we do that? Because we're creatures of habit. And we like to do things like that because this rhythm and this regularity keeps us comfortable because we can attach ourselves even to broken things. Even broken things done consistently create a sense of safety in us. So, what happens when we cling on to things that are doomed to fail? What happens then when we put our trust in something that is going to end or that is so fragile that at any moment it could be washed away? How do we build a house on rock and not on sand? How do we continue to throw off every weight and get rid of every sin in our life that seeks to slow us down and cause us harm? Well, what we're going to do this week is if you want to connect to us on Facebook, every day this week we're going to release, first thing in the morning, we're going to release a tip, something for you to help you as you kind of let go of some stuff in your life. So if you go to our Facebook, TCC Life or Today's Community Church, you can follow us there. The team are going to put something on every day, first thing in the morning, as you have your Weetabix or whatever it is you have, you can read it and you can go, okay, I'm going to action that today because I just want to save a bit of time. And I want to save some time, and I want to tell you about a little friend of mine. And I'm going to ask if Austin is in the room. Os, could you come up and play some piano music? Is that okay? We had a moment before, and I thought it was inspired by Jesus. And if as he makes his way to the stage, just play something like... play something that you would play if you were reading a story to your child. Okay? And let me tell you about a friend of mine called Kevin the Koala. Now, Kevin the Koala is a special individual. I was actually reading this last night with my son, and it's a great little kid's book. He is 35, but he does still enjoy them. He's not really. And I want to read you this story, and for the few minutes that I've got you, and thanks, Ost. Just some nice, friendly music. Thank you. Here we go. Kevin, this is called The Koala Who Could. In a wonderful place. Can we change the lights? Is that okay? Maybe just do a bit of mood? I don't know. Just let's change the atmosphere a little bit. Okay. Are you listening? Then I'll begin. This is so random. Oh, this is great. Who thought this was going to happen 2 minutes ago? Okay, go with me.
Oh, I'm really lighting. Great.
In a wonderful place, at the breaking of dawn, where the breezes were soft and the sunshine was warm, a place where the creatures ran wild and free, a koala called Kevin clung to a tree. Now Kevin... Oh, sorry. A nicer grey fellow you never would meet, a soft thing from ear tufts to feet.
Oh.
His favourite way to relax in the sun was to cling and to nap and to munch a leaf bun.
Ooh.
He was terribly good at all these three things. Yes, Kevin was king of the staying still kings. You see, high up was safe since he liked the slow pace, while the ground down below seemed a frightening place. Too fast and too loud, too big and too strange. Nope, Kevin preferred not to move nor to change. So he clung to his tree as he knew how to do, and he was never too keen to try anything new. So when wombats stopped by, he shouted one day, "Hey Kevin, why don't you come down here and play, mate?" I think he replied, "I should stay on my plant. I'm busy right now. No, I'm sorry, I can't." "Why not?" cried the ruse, who liked the idea. "Yes, why?" cried the dingoes. "You've nothing to fear, mate." But Kevin, who wasn't the to-do quick thing sore, said, "I've got clinging to do, but thanks for the thought." Are you still with me? I'll continue. As Kevin sat watching them chatter and shir, a part of him wished he could join them down there, but he knew he'd miss home in the dark and the late. The whole thing was risky. Adventure could wait. Whatever the invite, he'd always say no. Oh dear, it seemed Kevin just couldn't let go. So his life was the same no matter the day. The weeks came and went and the months rolled away. And Kevin stayed still while the world moved around until he awoke to a worrying sound. Tap, tap, the sound went. Well, this was a blow. Tap, tappity, tap, tap, tap. Oh, no. Uncling, the crowd called that had gathered below. Leap and we'll catch you. Just let yourself go. But Kevin was scared. Let go. No, I shan't. I won't, clung on Kevin. Oh, dear, I just can't. Whoomph. Down came the tree with a cracking and pinging. Crash and a wallop with Kevin still clinging. Kevin, he carefully opened one eye. He looked up at the love staring down from the sky. Then one claw by one claw, he slowly unclung. He felt springy and light and happy and young. The worst he could think of had now come to pass. And he was just fine. Why, he felt quite first class. So when Wombat helped out a most welcoming paw, Kevin, he didn't hold back anymore. When Dingo asked, will you now come out? I can't even do that accent. That was Swiss. I don't know what that was. I'll just do it in English. Now, will you come out to play? The crowd all joined in with a, what do you say? And even though this wasn't part of his plan, Kevin replied, yes, I think that I can. And Kevin, from then on, was always can do. Because life can be great when you try something new. Thank you. You can carry on. Thanks, Austin. I love that. Kevin was afraid of the unknown, so he clung on to what he knew to be safe. But then something happened in his life that changed it. And as soon as that happened, he realized there was nothing to be afraid of because of who he was surrounded by. So let me ask you a question. What tree do you cling on to? What weight or what brokenness or what behavior do you cling on to that is ultimately doomed to fail, that could be washed away in one wave? Trees create distance and loneliness. Have you ever felt inauthentic or like you're hiding or isolated or misunderstood? Sometimes we cling on to money and reputation and social media followers. But one day, that tree may fall. And I'm telling you that you will get up and you'll see the love staring down from the sky. And you will realize that Jesus was there the whole time, just waiting for you to let go of your fear, let go of your insecurity, and take his hand. So the question is simple today, and then I'll round it off. What do you need to let go of so that you can cling to Jesus? If you're not a believer in here, I want to ask you that question as well. What do you need to let go of so that you can cling to Jesus? So that every day you will wake up and you'll say, Jesus, I will not self-medicate on that anymore. I will not rely on that anymore, but instead, I will go to you. There's a story that parallels this in the Bible, and it's a guy called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is quite a short man, and he notices Jesus coming down the hill. And he says, I can't see him. So what Zacchaeus does, he climbs a tree, and he's holding onto this tree. And he sees Jesus walking by. Now, Zacchaeus isn't a terrific fellow. Okay, he's not the most perfect guy. In fact, he's one of the most tainted and corrupted men in that day. He was a tax collector, which just meant he was robbing the people of more money than they should actually pay to Caesar. People didn't like him. He was a con man. And he was clung on this tree looking to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? If you don't know the story, Jesus sees Zacchaeus on the tree and he is clinging to the tree looking at Jesus. And Jesus does not condemn him. He doesn't say, you're not perfect. You haven't done the right thing. You're this. You're known for that. This is your failure. This is the intent of your heart. This is your imperfection. Jesus doesn't say that. You know what Jesus says? Come down. and come eat with me. Let's have dinner. Come down off that tree. And that's why Jesus is amazing. Because no matter who you are, no matter where you are, he says to all of us, like in that book, uncling. Uncling and come down. And this is the offer Jesus makes, okay? This is in another book in the Bible. It says this. Jesus said this, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. Friend, keep company with Jesus. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How do I travel light? You let go and you go to Jesus every single day. A friend had a great story. I just want to read it to you. And this is someone who decided to cling to Christ and not cling to anything else. Just after New Year, we had a massive interruption in our life. This is him talking. With one of our sons becoming very ill. We struggled to get a specific diagnosis of what was causing his extreme weakness. We were anxious, angry, and upset that this had happened. But with the encouragement of our family and church family, we drew closer to God and leaned into him. He provided us with comfort and understanding. We are standing on his word for complete healing. We know that he is in control and won't abandon us. We know this is all for a bigger purpose. He wrote that to me about a year ago, and his son is well now. He wrote that when it could have gone either way. But I love the fact that I don't need everything to be okay for me to just cling to Jesus. When is the right time to make that decision? Now is the right time. To get off the trees, get off the rhythms, get off the habits, get off all the things that we've ever attached ourselves to and go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe in you again and I'll follow you. When the band come on stage, I'm pretty much done now. I think this is a wonderful book because I think we're all Kevin. I think we're all people who hold on to things and value them with far more importance than they actually have. And what I think God is telling us today is to let go and live lightly. And that's through Jesus. And I want to include you in a prayer in just a minute. If you feel in this atmosphere of reflection and calm, I'm going to ask you, can I include you in a prayer? And I want you to have an opportunity to get down off the tree.